I invite you to turn in your Bibles and your scriptures to Joshua, a historical book in the Old Testament. You'll find the reading on page 234, Joshua 24. We'll pick up the reading at verse 14. However, just to give a bit of a context to that, I'm just going to make some comments on the verses 1 to 13 leading up to that. I'll speak more about that in the message as well. Joshua is at the conclusion of his life. They have defeated many lands in the Promised Land where they have gone into. And this is a part of Joshua's farewell message. He's gathered together, as you see in verse 1. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And then he gives a litany of all the wonderful things that God has done. And he concludes that by reminding them, I have given you a land in which you have not labored, and cities that you have not built. And you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Verse 14. Now therefore, because of this, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your sight to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his own inheritance. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Decisions. That's what I have entitled this message. We all have decisions that we need to make, don't we? Children, from the time that they are born, need to make choices, decisions in their life. What TV show am I going to watch? Am I going to pay attention to what mom and dad say about the kind of activities that I do? Am I going to obey mom and dad? Teenagers are faced with multitudes of decisions as they go into their teen years. They need to be thinking about who are my friends going to be? Who am I going to date? What will be my lifelong partner? Who will that be? And how will that look for me in my life? Am I going to go to this party or this activity, or should I rather not because of my commitment to Christ? How am I going to spend my money? Lots of decisions. Adults have decisions that need to be made. As they go on in life, how am I going to raise my children in the best way possible? How am I going to relate and have an influence on my grandchildren as we get into the later years of adulthood? Decisions about retirement, decisions about jobs, from one job to the other. Lots of decisions that need to be made. The people of God are faced with a decision here in our context of our message. And the decision that they are made is the one decision that has an impact on every other decision that needs to be made. We find that in verse 15, our text. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land in whose land you dwell. And then Joshua testifies, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. Now, at the outset, this may seem to be an argument for those who would say, really, our decision about salvation is made by us. Choose this day. And it might sound from this text, if you just pull this text out of all other texts in the scriptures, that that's how our decision about salvation is made, by us. It is not. And that's not what the text teaches. That's not what the rest of scriptures teaches. We are reminded that our salvation is in the hands of God. God initiates the salvation. We are called upon to make decisions that reflect God's call in our life. Now choose, as you make your various decisions in life, if you will follow the ways of the world, or if you will follow that heritage to which you have been called by Jesus Christ in your life, and that your decisions then and choices in life would be consistent with that. That's what is before God's people here in this passage and in our lives today. As we relate to that within this passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at three aspects of this question that is placed before God's people. First, Joshua looks back and looks at all the things that God has done that helps them to decide and look at and make their choices for today based on what's happened in the past. Then Joshua looks around and sees the context in which they are living and sees that there are some choices that need to be made related to where they are at in this time of transition. And then he looks forward and encourages God's people to see that the choices that we make have an impact and have an influence on the future of our lives as well. So we want to look at those. Joshua looks back. Joshua looks around. Joshua looks forward. And we as God's people doing the same. Joshua has arrived at the time in his life in which they are in the midst of another transition. Moses has passed away. Joshua took over. Joshua took the people into the new land, led them into many different battles, and they have the opportunity to reflect on this. Thinking this through as a part of his farewell message, we are reminded again here that Joshua is placing this challenge before the leaders of the people. But the choices and the commitment that the leaders of the people have are also then later on to be passed on to the people. All of God's people need to be asking this question. We know that in verse 1, as I mentioned, that he has called the elders and the heads and the judges and the officers of the people. But as we look at this, we have to see how it is that God has worked in the lives of his people. Look through the first 13 verses and see how God has blessed his people and mentions that. I'm not going to read all of the words of that. Verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river. Verse 4, I gave Esau the hill country of Seir. Verse 5, I plagued Egypt and sent Moses and Aaron. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Along in verse 8, I brought you to the land of the Amorites. Verse 8, I gave them into your hand. Long in verse 10, I delivered you from Balaam. Verse 11, verse 12, I have given them into your land. I have driven them out before you. Verse 13, we read that verse. All that you have, you never got for yourself. It was given to you, all of the blessings that you have. That's who I am, says God. Now, therefore, choose this day whom you will serve. So we look at this for ourselves today. As Joshua is challenging his people to look back, we know that there are many things from the background that has an influence on our context today. Our culture is what it is because of what they have followed over the years in the past as well. Oh, you may say, but they had many gods that would have influenced them to make improper and incorrect decisions. But we don't have those gods today, do we? Well, do we? If you look at all the ideas, the different thoughts, the different philosophies, the different thinking patterns that have been a part of the makeup of our society and our culture, it's no wonder where we are today. The isms. I suggest to you that anytime you hear a word with a suffix ism in it, that you are looking at a potential god. An ism simply means something that you are focused on, something that has an influence on what predicates it. So then materialism would be a focus on, an emphasis on, the material. Secularism would be a focus on, an emphasis on, a running after material. Or did I say secular? Individualism, on the individual. Modernism, on the modern. All of these are gods that have made up our past and have brought our culture and society into the situation that we live in. And we are being asked the question. Compare that to the way God has guided you and directed you in the past of your life. So as you make your choices today, are you going to make your choices based on the way things are going in our society, all of these isms? Or are you going to make your choices based on what God has done in his faithfulness to you in your life and in the life of God's church and his people? That's the call that we have here. And Joshua, as he presents this to his people, is pointing to the Christ. His name is Yahshua. It's the same letters in the Hebrew language as the name Jesus. That's intentional. It's a way for us to reflect on the fact that Joshua is a type of Christ. And as Joshua is challenging his people with this today, Jesus Christ, the living word, is challenging us with this same thing for us today. We need to think about what God has done for us through Christ in his power over Satan. Thanks be to God for what he has done in Jesus Christ in our life. And now I promise and I make a commitment. That's the challenge that Joshua is placing here. Will you now then live your life as though you are thankful for what Christ has done for you in the past? What God has done for you throughout your life? How he has been faithful to you? In spite of the fact that we have been unfaithful to him. Then we begin to understand that the challenge is to serve the Lord. And Joshua wants his people to remember that. And so he places a stone. We read in verse 26 that Joshua places that stone there before him as a reminder. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and he set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. That stone. Why? So that when people would go by that stone, grandparents could say to their grandchildren when they ask about this great strange stone out of place, why is that stone there? Let me tell you what that stone is there for. We tell it to our children and we tell it to our grandchildren and the generations afterwards so that they can tell it to their children and their grandchildren and the generations afterward as well. A reminder. You say, well, is that stone still there? We don't have stones today set up to remind us of these things, do we? Well, not a physical stone, but we have our reminders, don't we? We have our reminders every time we go to God's Word, a reminder of what that's about and what God's plan is for our life and how we are to follow that. But more than that, we have different activities and different things that go on within the church. I suggest to you that our sacraments today are reminders. They are those stones so that when we take part of the Lord's Supper, our little children, when they're asking us, Mom, why did you take that bread and I didn't get it? What's this drink, this little drink of wine that, or grape juice that you have? What's that all about? Let me tell you, son. Let me tell you, daughter, what that's all about. It's a reminder of what God has done for us, of His love for us. And you will do well to remember that, as you also have a part in that. Our stones are our weekly church attendance. They remind us. Our Bible reading and our devotions around the table, those are the reminders. The point is that we need to have reminders because we get distracted. We forget so easily. Satan loves to distract us from the memory of what God has done for us, of how we have been blessed. And so we need to reflect on these. When our young people come forward and do a profession of faith, make a profession of their faith before the people and say, I will serve the Lord in my life and I want to declare that publicly. That's a reminder to us and say, yeah, you know, I also made that commitment. How am I doing? Or, you know, I haven't made that public commitment yet. Maybe it's time for me to seriously give some thought to that. Reminders, stones in Israel, in Joshua, and reminders for us today. They're there. And we need to be reminded of that in our lives. Joshua not only looks back and recounts all of the wonderful things that God has done, as should we in our own lives, Joshua also looks at the context in which they are living currently. They are going into a time of transition. A time of transition where Joshua has led them through all the battles, and now they are going to be moving into the time of the judges, and they are still going to be having those enemies around them. And now what are they going to do that Joshua is leaving them? It's interesting to note, as Joshua looks around him, the location where this takes place. We read in verse 1 and in verse 25 that this takes place in Shechem. In Shechem. Shechem has a place of memory for God's people. Important events happened at Shechem, and Joshua, God, has chosen this place through Joshua for a specific reason, to remind them that this place is unique. It is in this place that Joshua, in chapter 8, writes the law on large stone tablets and reads it to the Israelites. Large stone tablets, not the tablets that we have today, you know, those electronic ones. No, no, no. These are permanently etched on stone tablets for God's people. In Shechem, that took place. It was here also that Abraham was shown the promised land. This land that you see here, your generations to follow will possess that land. Genesis 12, verses 6 and 7. It is here that Abraham builds an altar to God and commits himself in his covenant relationship to God. But it is also here that Jacob in Genesis 33 and Genesis 35 is challenged to also make a choice amongst himself and his family as to whom he will follow. And he has cleanses all his gods and gets rid of all of the gods that have been part of the clan that has been traveling with him at that time. And he gets rid of them because the people want to focus their attention on God. And now God's people are here once again. You see that ebb and flow of following the Lord and then being distracted. And then following the Lord and being distracted. And every time they come to Shechem, they are committed or demonstrated to show their commitment to God. That's why they're at Shechem. We think this through. And we are reminded of the fact that they are given these, the people of God are given these injunctions, these things that they may do, and they're called upon to be sincere. We read that throughout these verses. They're called upon to pay the price, to be willing to pay the price. They're called upon to submit to Him, to depend on Him for everything that they need in their lives and surrender everything to Him. What do you do today to maintain your commitment to follow Christ? Do you spend time with God so that you are reminded of that? You're called upon to make decisions without asking yourself what God would want you to do because you would know it from reading God's Word. You're called upon not to play with fire, not to try to find out how close you can get to that line before you step over into the wrong things that are part of your life, but just to simply stay away from that in your life. We're called upon to go to church and to be a part of studies and read the scriptures to help us maintain our focus in the present day in which we are living. And we need that with the influences around us. When we look at this reminder to God's people, we have a reminder that God is telling His people, I want you to remember the relationship, the unique relationship that I have with you. I've called you to be my people. You have made a commitment to be my God. You have not done your part. I have been faithful in my part. What kind of promises, then, do we make on our part to maintain our faithfulness, to demonstrate that we are living the life in the present that God has called us to? We are called upon to commit to Him our time. Everything that we do with our time is not ours. Your time is not yours. It belongs to God. Everything that we have belongs not to us. It is a gift from God. We are called upon to demonstrate our commitment to Him by using our time in a way that reflects the fact that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that we have committed ourselves to serve Christ. Our talents, those things that we do well, you're a good mechanic, use that for the glory of God. You're a good farmer, use that by bringing witness in every way that you can in your farming industry. You're a good teacher, use that for the glory of God. You're a good musician, use that for the glory of God. It is not for yourselves that you have these talents. It is for God's people and more for the glory of God Himself. That's the challenge that we have before us. Our money, everything that we have, belongs not first of all for us to use, but for to be used for the extension of the kingdom of God in different ways. Everything that we have belongs to Him. He has granted us the privilege of being able to maintain 90% of that for ourselves and return 10% to Him. Think about that. And even that 90%, we are called upon to use not for ourselves, but for God. That's the call that God challenges us with in this commitment that we are called upon to reinforce and to make every day of our lives. And we need to be reminded that this commitment that we make is not based on feelings that we have. God is not asking us, do you feel like making those commitments? If we depended on our commitment to Jesus Christ, on the feelings, there would be many times when we would say, you know, I just don't feel like doing that today. Maybe tomorrow. Just doesn't feel like I want to do that. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. Your choice has everything to do with it. I have made a commitment, regardless of how I'm feeling about it. I have made a commitment and I will follow through because I've made a choice. To reflect on all the decisions that I've made in life, to make sure that's a reflection on what God has done for me. That's the choice that I have made. And there will be times when I don't feel like doing it. And we're called upon to do it anyways. That's important for us to remember in our own lives. We need to recall the fact that the commitments that we make today have an impact on our future as well. We had looked back. We looked around at our circumstances. Now let's look into the future on some of these. It's interesting to see that as Joshua is coming to his end of his life, he's fully aware of the pressures that his people, that God's people, are going to have. They're living among a nation that doesn't follow God's laws, and they're moving in the future along with that. The choice you make today about how you will make decisions in the future will have an impact on how that will go for you as you go through life, says Joshua to his people. Was Joshua and his people, were they always faithful? No, they weren't. But God, in his grace, has always kept a faithful remnant to continue the work that he has called the Church of Jesus Christ to do. We are called upon to be that faithful remnant. So that as we move into the future, we have a solid base on which we can continue to do those things that God calls us to do day after day into the future. As a church, we are called upon to be a faithful remnant, a part of that faithful remnant that is faithful to Jesus Christ and that does those things that the scriptures teach us to do and not waver from that. It's a choice to do things as a church based on the calling that God has given us to be faithful to him. And so Joshua challenges his people. And his challenge is pretty tough. The people, after having heard what Joshua has to say, they say in verse 17, yes, yes, the Lord is our God. But keep your Bibles open and read through this. In 18, verse 18, they say, we will serve the Lord because he is our God. Verse 19, Joshua says to them, not possible. God is a holy God. If you continue on the way you are, he will not forgive your sins without a recognition of your errors, of your ways. So then verse 20, they said, no, but we will serve the Lord. And then in verse 22, Joshua says to them, okay, well then, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have committed yourselves to this. And they said, yes, 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 we are witnesses to the fact that we will serve the Lord. Joshua's not at the end of this. You see, this is not an easy road to go, says Joshua. Are you sure? Then do this, says Joshua. Throw away all your gods and turn to serve the Lord. Get rid of everything that reminds you of the life that you have lived in the past, of all of those isms in your life, and serve the Lord. And they say in verse 24, okay, yes, yes, we will do that. How often we don't see in our own lives, personally, in our own personal discipleship walk with God, that we easily get sidetracked to doing that which isn't reflective at all of God's call of salvation in our life. There are biblical examples of that too, in Solomon, David, Moses, But they recognize their errors and come to the Lord, and the Lord is gracious and good and turns a loving eye towards them. People of God, as we move on into our futures and make choices today based on God's call of salvation in our life, you will need the support of others around you. You cannot do that yourself. It's not an easy road to go. And we need to be aware of that as we move ahead in that. But you have family around you, those who have committed themselves to Christ in the church, to be able to support you and to guide you along in those times when you have a tendency to do a flutter and do your own thing for a little while, and then you need to get back on track. Your church family provides that support for you. There will be Christian, mature men and women in your family circles, grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or an uncle or an aunt, to whom you can turn to help and to guide you along in these times. That's what God is calling for you to look for in your lives. Identify those people in your lives. Identify mentors in your life. You're never too old to have a mentor. I have mentors in my life that are younger than I am, because some of my mentors have gone on to glory over the years. We need to have those kinds of influence people in our lives who follow Christ and know your life and are able to help you continue to be accountable in your own life, to follow along in the ways that the Lord is calling you. I know that it's easy to make a promise, but what happens when the going gets tough, when things are difficult for you? Then what are you going to do? Then you need to be reminded of the fact that you have been called to serve Christ and to make choices, even when the going gets tough. What about when things go well for you in your life? You know how easy it is for us to forget that we belong to God and that we are to be faithful to God when everything goes well for us in our own lives, and we see many, many blessings in our lives. We have a tendency then to forget that we need God. Oh, what do I need God for? Things are going quite well, until we forget God and we find out that things are not going so well, are they now? Because you're not making the choices that reflect God's call on your life. Joshua challenges us today, people of God, in conclusion. Choose this day whom you will serve. Oh, we have that nagging Satan in our own lives that tries to distract us. But let's remember a verse that is written, that John writes in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 4, where he writes this: "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them," that is, the temptations that are in your life, "because he," Christ, "who is in you is greater than he," Satan, "who is in the world." May that be an encouragement as we reflect with God's people in Joshua's day and our day today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.